available online wherever you get your music. We're so lucky to have them here in studio. They'll be playing a couple of those tunes for us live here in just a minute, and we're so happy to have them here. Welcome to KFAI, Mikey.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm going to play a bunch of tender music.
Take it away.
What I do. I guess I'll start with After Luck. It's the title track of the EP. I wrote it after I did this fiddle festival in West Denmark, fiddle festival in Luck, Wisconsin last year. So it's kind of very loosely based on Scandinavian folk music. It's fun to do that one solo. Usually I have a band that I'm doing it with, and there's like a little improv section in the middle. And in the middle of that, I was like, oh, maybe I should improvise. And then I was like, ah, no, moving along. And I went back into it. Something really special about that track, After Luck, on the EP is that my friend Chris Aneda from Chile did all of the percussion with all of these different, like, percussion instruments from all over the world. So I had a couple of Minneapolis musicians that were accompanying me on it, and then it's basically that tune with a little improv in there. and then Chris does the percussion on it too. So cool. I'm going to do a singing song now. This is called The In Between, and it's one that I usually do with my duo partner Helen in our band Two Old Cat. It's not nothing, it's a harvest moon. Take a look, it's anything but blue. We're all stuck in the in-between. Summer's over, so we look to spring. We look to spring. What if we rest in the in-between? What if we find in the in-between? What if we rest in the in-between? What do we find in the in-between? We're all rushing, but we don't know where. Running back from here to there, here to there. And if we keep rushing, we'll miss the fall colors. Everything in life that's good is undercover. Undercover. What if we rest in the in-between? What do we find in the in-between? What if we rest in the in-between? What do we find in the in-between? Now, this is usually a banjo solo, but I'm just going to scat it instead. It's not nothing, it's a harvest moon. Take a look, it's anything but blue. We're all stuck in the in-between. Summer's over, so we look to spring. We look to spring. What if we rest in the in-between? What do we find in the in-between? What if we rest in the in-between? What do we find in the in-between? What if we rest in the in-between? Never sung the banjo part like that before. That was fun. It sounds a lot better on banjo, I tell you what, though.
They sing, they play cello, they play tenor guitar, and they scat the banjo.
They scat the banjo.
Multi-talented.
I'll put it on my resume. I can scat banjo. All the banjo players listening are like, that sounded nothing like a banjo. Get out of here.
No. There are definitely no banjo players in the audience story.
In Minnesota, I don't know about that. Cool. I think maybe I'll do one more cello one, if that sounds good.
Perfect.
Cool. This one's called Louie in the Smoke. It's also off of my EP. And I usually do this with an accordion player, and I won't scat the accordion part. I promise.
No.
It would just be like, oh, like the whole time. it's called Louie in the Smoke. My sibling's name is Louie, and I wrote it at this time that there was like a lot of wildfires happening where they live in Colorado, and they're okay, but I was just really worried about them, and so it's kind of a processing tune for me to try to, yeah, just try to be where I am, but also with them at the same time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks. Instrument switch.
Instrument switch, pulling out the tenor guitar.
Instrument switch, the tenor guitar, which everyone always asks me if it's a bass. It is not a bass.
Not a bass.
But it does have four strings.
And it's also not a banjo.
And it's also not a banjo. We've established I am a banjo.
Right.
Yeah, not a banjo. But it has some connection. I can't remember the entire history of the tenor guitar. Somebody was telling me all about it the other day, and I was like, oh, that's great crowd banter. I'm going to use that. And then I instantly forgot what the history of the tenor guitar is. But I like to use it because it looks like a guitar and it kind of sounds like a guitar, but it's tuned like either a violin or a cello. So I get to look cool, like I know how to play guitar, but I'm basically just still playing a cello. All right. I'm going to do a song called Both And. I don't think I have anything to say about it. Wanted to call you today, but I'm grumpy, so I'm not good company. Wanted to walk by the lake, but I can't, cause the rich men have golf to play. And they look so doofy in their little men's shorts, as do I. And I wonder if the city is far from their homes, did they have to drive? Oh, I get tuckered out, thinking of thinking on my hobbies, all the things I wanna do. Will I have the brain space when all I wanna do is snuggle up with you and talk about the heck they should all pay? Money is the devil, but so am I. We have different powers. He may have brimstone, but I've got a fire, and I just am a heck of a lot brighter. I get tuckered out, thinking on how it could be, and I get stuck here spinning round in the bittersweet, round and round that bittersweet. Saying it's both and. She is always saying it's both and. I can hold this anger, but I can also hold your hand. We can be tired, but still be making plans. She is always saying it's both and. She is always saying it's both and. that one kind of gets me into this like little meditative space. I think that's kind of how I felt when I was writing it too. I was just in this like some sort of little brain fog, but not necessarily in a bad way. I think it was kind of like a rainy day, much like today. Kind of just cloudy and so then when I sing it, I always kind of get into that space. Yeah, that kind of headspace of just calm and reflective space, I guess. Cool, I think I'm going to play one more. This is called Delicious Flies, and it's a love song. Loved song to me tuning. I love tuning. There it is. Okay, here we go. Sitting all alone in a dark room. You come on in, gentle and kind. You help me to turn on the light. Like a jar of jam that's been stuck for years, you crack me open and pour me out. You capture all my wicked fears like a river net catches trout. Like a spider web full of delicious flies, I love that you love my vicious mind. Midnight, you make me feel oh so silly. I am like a birthday balloon that some reckless kid just let loose. Like a jar of jam that's been stuck for years, you crack me open and pour me out. You capture all my wicked fears like a river net catches trout. Like a spider web full of delicious flies, I love that you love my vicious mind. Up on my telephone screen. Even when we are far apart, you bring this little heart to its knees. Like a jar of jam that's been stuck for years, you crack me open and pour me out. You capture all my wicked fears like a river net. Like a spider web full of delicious flies, I love that you love my vicious mind. I love that you love my vicious mind. I love that you love my vicious mind.
Brilliant, Mikey. Thank you for joining us and for playing those lovely songs for us. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tornado Drill here on KFAI, and we've got Mikey Marget live in studio this week. We'll be back to talk to Mikey a little bit after these messages.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting the Brandy Younger Trio, Monday, October 27th. Trailblazing jazz harpist Brandy Younger takes the Dakota stage with her latest album, Gadabout Season. Brandy Younger is revolutionizing the harp's role in modern music. Her new album continues to stretch boundaries and push the limitations of what jazz is and what it can be. More information about the Brandy Younger Trio can be found at dakotacooks.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Culture Center, presenting the Wild Woods, Thursday, October 23rd. The Wild Woods, hailing from Lincoln, Nebraska, are touring with their latest release, Dear Minnewark. From their close harmony vocals to their traditional Americana instrumentals, the Wild Woods dance on the line between genuine folk and indie pop. Opening show is St. Paul's own Emmy Woods. More information about the Wild Woods is available at thecedar.org.
We're back in studio with Mikey Margit here. Mikey, tell me about the process of creating your new EP, Afterluck.
Yeah, it's something I've been thinking about for a really, really long time. Some of these tunes have been knocking around in my brain for years. And yeah, I really was just like, wow, I gotta get these out. So I actually got a residency it was a week-long residency in the Driftless called, I think it was called the Two Chickadees Residency. And it was just this gift of like 1 week of concentrated time that I could think about how I wanted to, what songs I actually wanted to do, how I would budget them, how I would do that whole piece of it, and then how I would release it. And I wrote a couple of new tunes. The Delicious Flies one's one that I just sang, I did in that period of time. And then it was just a matter of getting into the studio. I recorded at Hideaway Studios with Joe Mabbitt, and that was just a really, really awesome experience. And I did it over kind of a span of time, piecing things together until one day it was done. And then it was out in the world.
And now it's out in the world. What's it been like since the release in March?
Yeah, it's been kind of a whirlwind. It's been really fun. I immediately, this is, I think, a classic musician thing, is you put in all the work, like years of work, and then you're like, okay, I released it, it's out. Now I'm going to write new stuff. Oh, wait, I have to, you know, I'm going to do this instead. You know, I'm going to play these songs out for a long time. So it's kind of a weird process of spending so much time and then doing like what you feel like is a finished product, but then continuing. Now you are telling other people about it, you know? I have been writing a lot of new music since then, but it's also been fun to perform it. And I've been doing more shows with a full band, and more electric instruments, so kind of reformatting these songs to fit that has been really fun too. So yeah, finding ways to make it still feel new even though I've spent a lot of time on these songs, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
were you an orchestra kid?
Totally, big time.
I don't know what about you told me that.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But I'm curious how you transitioned from classical music to folk.
Yeah. I went to college at Lawrence University over in Wisconsin, and there were a lot of programs there that were like, I mean, I was there as a classical major, so I got my classical degree and I can play Bach, you know.
Certified,
yeah. It's on paper, I can play Bach.
Will you though?
Oh yeah, I love Bach, okay. But I won't play much else besides that, honestly. Actually, truthfully, I've been kind of coming back into classical music in the last couple of years a little bit more. I had a phase that I was like, no classical music ever again. And now I'm kind of like, it's just music and it's part of me. So, I got introduced to folk music through something called the Silk Road, the Global Musician Workshop. It's like this festival that brings a bunch of musicians from all around the world, and you like learn traditional folk tunes and then arrange them for these small bands. And it just kind of expanded my whole world about what music could be. And I found that I really love writing music and learning these things by ear and dancing and, yeah, having like a tradition that's rooted in a long history is really special to be a part of. So folk music is, yeah, kind of just expanded my world outside of classical music.
Yeah, thinking about that history, I would love to know how you balance tradition with innovation when writing new folk music.
Totally, yeah. I think part of it is kind of contextual. So if I'm playing a festival or something that's like a traditional festival and they want traditional music, then I'm going to be like, I'm going to try to do this to the best of my ability as traditionally as possible. But then when I write my own stuff, I'm really loose with it, and I wouldn't even consider it traditional music. It's just kind of influenced by that. So then I have the freedom to kind of play around. But something that it is important to think about with folk music is that it's, to me, equal parts preserving the tradition of folk music, traditional music, and also, like, somebody wrote those songs at some point, you know? Like, somebody...
They were on the cutting edge once.
Totally, yeah. In the 1700s, this new Polska was a bop or whatever. I've been doing Scandinavian music, so that's where that comes from. It's always kind of churning new music out, and it's always innovating. So if we try to stay too traditional, it's just going to not survive. So, yeah, you have to have both pieces.
Who are you channeling, or what are you channeling on your new EP?
Oh my gosh. I really think it feels kind of egotistical to say it, but I really think that I wanted this EP to be kind of like a big representation of myself and all of the different influences. Like, every single song is slightly different from each other. But I feel like they're all very deeply me. And I think it draws from, yeah, the classical background, some jazz stuff. There's, like I was saying earlier, one of my friends from Chile is on it and brings really cool percussion stuff. And, yeah, that kind of, like, convergence of different folk musics. So, yeah, I really think it's kind of an encapsulation of me in a lot of different ways, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. You've traveled to folk music gatherings mm-hmm. all over the world. You know, you have contributors to this EP from Chile and mm-hmm. beyond. How has the international music community influenced your work?
Yeah, hugely, hugely. And again, it's like an expansion of self and understanding of what folk music even can be. I've done a bunch of traveling to these. They're festivals for young folk musicians. And basically everybody comes and brings one song from their home tradition to teach everyone, and everyone learns it all together, and then we arrange it all together too. So it could be a show where we're playing a Brazilian tune and a Tunisian tune and one from the Netherlands or something, and everyone's learning it all together. It's just a really special experience to be, you know, humbly learning music from different cultures and sharing just these, like, little nerdy music tidbits, like, oh, in Sweden we do these little ornaments, and, like, oh, in this other country we do this thing, and sometimes you find they're similar and sometimes they're not. It's that I could talk about all day. It's so magical. It's really a special
space. You can
talk
about it. I mean, we don't have all day, but we do have some time if we want to get into it.
Yeah, I think, one of my favorite moments was I was in Tunisia, and I was witnessing this interaction. I was not part of this interaction, but one of my friends was teaching another one of my friends a song, and one of them is from Tunisia and one of them is from Sweden. And then at the same moment, they just went, "We have the same scale," which is really cute. Just music nerdy. We're like, oh my gosh, it's the same. So, kind of an example of how magical these, togetherness gatherings are across the world.
What was the song that you brought from the U.S.?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I brought, I brought Fly Around My Pretty Little Miss, which I changed a lot of the lyrics. It's a trad old time / bluegrass song. That some of the lyrics I don't totally love. bluegrass fans will be like, yeah, totally, I know why. But yeah, so I changed them a little bit to be a little more modern. But that was the one that I brought. It was a hit. People loved it. It was
great.
Really fun.
Yeah. Great. I'm just thinking about the evolution of folk music and like mm-hmm. when in the time scale something gets determined folk.
Yeah, this was a funny little tidbit that one of the members of Vesson, who's a Scandinavian group, I think they're actually coming to the Cedar in the next couple of weeks. They're amazing. But they're like top of the top. Everyone plays their songs. And when you go to a jam in Sweden, that's what people are playing. Like lots of people are playing Vesson. And they played an original tune. And he said, that was an original tune. It's not traditional. Yet, with like a little wink.
Right.
And that's kind of true. It's like these songs are all, yeah, they're all new at some point. But yeah, what integrates them into folk music at large is like if people like playing them, which is kind of beautiful too.
And they just get passed around.
Yeah, totally. They just get passed around. And as they get passed around, they change and morph and maybe they inspire something new. And then that's a whole nother tune. It's, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe some of the like ownership or copyright of it all sort of melts away when it gets to a point where you don't know where it came from.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And I think it's important to note also that like you still have to be careful, especially like, if I'm learning tunes from cultures that are not mine, I don't want to take that or steal it or change it in any way. Those I'm like much more humble about because of the history of colonialism and all that. But yeah, it's part of the folk tradition to change and learn and morph and share, you know?
Do you have Scandinavian heritage?
I do, yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if you're, this is radio, you can't look at Mikey.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah, I have Scandinavian heritage. And yeah, but also Scandinavian music is open, so you can learn, if you don't have Scandinavian heritage, you can totally still learn the tunes and play and, you know, change them and share them and things. Whereas some other musical traditions are closed and it's not appropriate to share and change and, you know, use them. So, yeah, just knowing where you are in the long history of folk music is important too.
Right.
Yeah.
How did you find your way to Scandinavian folk music in particular as an interest?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. I think in some ways it feels kind of similar to that. Well, there are similarities between like some of the classical music, like Baroque classical music that I was interested in, and Scandinavian music. So I think like aesthetically, that's what drew me to it. But then that combined with like, yeah, people playing it all together in a big group was, I don't know, the social aspect of it really drew me to it also. I think my friend Isabel Damon was the one that like introduced me to my first couple of Scandinavian tunes. And she was like, oh, we should learn this together. And I was like, whoa, I don't know how to learn music without it written in front of me. How do I do that? That's so scary.
It's a totally different skill set.
It's a totally different world. And now I just like don't even really like using the music anymore because I'm like, oh, but it's in your body if you learn it by ear in a different way. So yeah, that was kind of the trajectory of getting into folk music and Scandi music.
Yeah, we were talking a little before the show about how you're learning fiddle or like fiddle-inspired music on the cello.
Yeah.
And explain, please.
Yeah, totally. It's, yeah, there's a lot of great folk cellists, like folk fiddle cellists out there that are inspiring to me. And now I can't think of any of their names, of course, but you have Google, you can figure it out. But yeah, it's in some ways really easy because it's a string instrument, but in some ways it's really hard to learn fiddle music because you don't have the same strings or it's a bigger instrument, so the fingering's all different. Like the mechanics of learning fiddle tunes on the cello are slightly different than learning them on the actual fiddle, and I'm atrocious at the actual fiddle. I try, but it's really different.
Seems just like spatially, logistically hard.
Yes, totally.
To get around the instrument that
yes.
fast.
Thank you. I think so too.
Okay. Just from an observer's perspective.
It totally is, yeah. But it's also fun. Like the challenge of it is that you're learning the music and you want to be, like we're talking about, you want to be as true to it as possible, But then also you have, like, I have to change it slightly to fit the instrument that I'm playing. So yeah, it's kind of that fun. It's kind of a fun translation experiment to get it to be on the cello instead.
So there's no Mikey violin arc in our future?
Not yet. But no. I got a cello. I got an electric cello that has a fifth string, so I can play a lot of the, yeah, I can play a lot of the fiddle music, which is really exciting.
Fancy.
Yeah.
To pivot a little bit, mm-hmm. I've heard you play songs for a really wide age range of audiences. Yeah. And how do you write or perform differently for younger audiences in mind?
Totally. That's such a good question. I love that question. I honestly, the songs themselves, I don't think you really have to change the music itself. In the same way, like when I'm teaching, I don't use like kid voice. You know, some people are like, oh, hey there, kiddo. You know, I don't have that. I kind of just talk to kids with my normal voice, and they seem to respond to that. So I translate that into music. Like, kids will absorb, similar to adults, kids will absorb from the music whatever fits their world, you know? So you don't have to, like, I don't think necessarily, you know, I don't write kids-specific music or anything. I think the biggest thing is I've learned a lot over the last couple of years of playing concerts for children, especially, how to keep their attention in between songs and how to be, like, kind of guiding them into what things they might want to listen for that they wouldn't know to listen for, or, you know, how to imagine a scene while you're listening to the music that fits the music, that kind of thing.
So how would you have introduced Delicious Flies?
Oh, great question.
If this was a radio show for children?
Oh, Delicious Flies, that's a hard one. Yeah, I probably would introduce it like, maybe not content-wise. I might say it's a love song and then have them think about someone that they love in their life. Like their mom or their brother or their friend at school or something. And that's like what's being evoked in the song. And then I might also say you can listen for, there are parts where I'm singing and there are parts where I'm playing. What do you notice in the differences between those two parts?
Sometimes that's helpful for adults too.
Totally. Well, and that's something that I found. My duo partner Helen and I have done a bunch of things for kids, and then we bring back our stage band to adults, and they're like, yeah, nice. That helped me. That helped me a lot.
We're not so different.
And totally, we're really not. Yeah.
Okay, Mikey, what are your thoughts on golf?
Golf sucks. Yeah, golf sucks. This is part of my merch. I have stickers that say golf sucks, and I make these like handmade earrings that say golf sucks.
Yeah, you had a whole line in that song, like clowning on golf players. Telling them they look stupid.
I totally. Well, and as do I. We're both wearing our little doofy men shorts. yeah, I just, to be totally honest, it's kind of a fun bit because I've never played golf. It's very possible that I would love it and I'd be like, this is a great time. This is fun. But no, it's really in my mind. Well, the environmental impact of golf courses, you know, so much grass, so much water, yada, yada. I think they could be allocated in a different place. Also, you know, golf is associated with like the ultra wealthy. And it just, yeah, it makes me kind of happy to think, wow, they might be mad that I'm being mean about golf.
Just throw some sand in the machine there.
It's fun for me, you know?
Good.
Yeah.
You're playing with a new project now called Candlepoint.
Yes.
What's new and different about Candlepoint than the Mikey we know and love?
Yeah. So Candlepoint it's kind of an extension of what I've been doing, and it's just my full band persona now. So I haven't decided yet, actually, if I'm going to do just Candlepoint or if I'm going to go Mikey Margette and Candlepoint. I'm still in the process. But yeah, it's an extension. It's a lot of the same songs, but I'm using, like I said, the electric cello and all electric instruments. So it's more of like a folk fusion than more of a like acoustic folk sound, if that makes sense. And I'm excited to see how that continues to progress and what directions it goes into.
Can you give us a sneak peek at what you're working on for the Cedar this winter?
I can talk about it.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good enough.
Yeah, actually, last night, so I'm doing, I'm so excited about this project. It's going to be kind of Scandinavian-inspired music, I would say. There are, yeah, elements of trad Scandi music in it, but it's certainly not, you know, traditional music.
Can you back up and tell us what this Cedar Cultural Commission is?
Thank you. Yeah, totally. So it's the Cedar Cultural Center selects six artists to create 30 minutes of all original music, and it happens in February on the 20th and the 21st, I believe. And yeah, it's part professional development, part artist cohort, part just, you know, time and money to create a brand new project. So what I'm going to be working on is, a kind of Scandinavian-inspired 30 minutes of music. There's also going to be poetry, and there's also going to be these puppet masks that I'm making. And it's all kind of centered around the idea of how do we hold each other during climate change, and how do we respond to, the world as it shifts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that in February. Also coming up, you're busy this winter.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. What's going on with Tethers?
Tethers is so exciting. This is going to be happening at Modus Locus on November 25th. And there's more info about that on my website. A similar concept. It's going to be a music show centered around the concept of togetherness through climate change. And it's equal parts improvised music and community art. So essentially, you'll walk in and you will write down or do some art based around the topic of togetherness during climate change. You'll put it up on the wall. And then myself, Liz Draper, and Pat O'Keefe will improvise music based on what the community is making. So whatever art and thoughts you bring will influence kind of the larger sonic space as we're in there. And it's going to be cello, upright bass, and clarinet.
All right. And are there prompts for...
There are prompts, okay. Yes. Yeah, there will be lots of prompts, which I have yet to write, but I will write before then.
Mark their words.
Yes. There will be prompts, and we will help you.
Okay, good. Where's this happening?
This is happening at Modus Locus. It's on Bloomington and 35th in South Minneapolis.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. And I also just learned about a whole nother project of yours, which is you have another album coming up soon with your alternate project, Too Old Cat.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I've mentioned my friend Helen a couple of times. We have a duo called Too Old Cat, and it's much more on the folksier side. It's part original music, some instrumental music, and then singing and banjo, cello, accordion. And yeah, we're really excited. We've been playing for a couple of years together, and we're going to be recording an album next week that should be out in the spring.
Who is the Too Old Cat?
Oh, yeah. It comes from our favorite cartoon, which is seasonal to now. It comes from Over the Garden Wall.
Oh, yes.
Too Old Cat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is seasonal.
That was the inspiration.
Yeah. I get it. I was picturing like one of you had a Too Old Cat.
Too Old Cat. Yeah.
It's not Two Old Cats, by the way.
Yeah.
It's T-O-O.
T-O-O. Yeah,
like,
old cat.
This cat is too old.
Too old, yeah, which has gotten mixed reviews from people. Some people are like, no cat is too old. And we're like, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah.
So. Maybe.
Yeah, again, mixed reviews.
Yeah,
knows?
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think those are all the questions I had for you. Is there anything I didn't ask that you think I should have that you want to share with KFAI and the world?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think so. Thank you so much for having me. This is really fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming. You can catch Mikey playing with Clover's Daughter this Saturday, October 25th at the 7th Street Entry. Should be a good show. And yeah, Thanks so much for coming in. We're going to listen to a couple of tracks from Two Old Cat first, their version of Goodnight Irene, and then another Mikey song that we didn't get to hear live. So stay tuned for that. And coming up next, Skate Town USA.
Just as the moon calls to the sea, I will call to you like the waves that churn and tides that turn. I'll sing the whole night through. much too old to have traveled all this way. She's been all around, but only now she's turning gray. Sweet autumn rain feels just like mist. She settles into the old city to drape herself in gin. Seasons change and the weather grows mild. It's time to come home now. She's been gone a while. Settles into the old city to drape herself in gin. Seasons change and the weather grows mild. We get a little softer from parent to child. Seasons change and the weather grows mild. We get a little softer from parent to child. You are
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue presenting Cuckoo Wednesday, October 22nd. Cuckoo returns to the First Avenue stage with his latest release, Brighton.
It's an album that mixes Latina boleros and música romántica to pay homage to the brown-eyed soul that reflects Cuckoo's Chicano roots.
More information about Cuckoo at First Avenue is available at first-avenue.com.
Support for KFAI comes from Crooner's Supper Club, presenting Philip Michael Scales, Thursday, October 23rd. Guitarist, singer, songwriter, and nephew of B.B. King, Philip Michael Scales has dubbed his particular style Dive Bar Soul. After opening national tours for Kep Moe and Caravan Palace, he teamed up with producer Dan Knobler for his latest release, Good to Be Here. As Philip Michael Scales puts it, I wouldn't say that I've arrived, but it's good to be here. More information about Philip Michael Scales' Dive Bar Soul can be found at croonersmn.com.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. Now stay tuned for Skate Town, USA.